It's almost Christmas, so one final gift from us, an FPL pod full of review and preview. We discuss the deluge of deadlines, we discuss potential Bruno replacements, and Sam's finally reunited with Jared Bowen. It's almost Christmas, but there is still time for one more FPL pod. Yes, it's not our usual slot this week. There's no off the bench. We're back, FPL pod, to look back on what happened and also to preview the game week, which kicks off on Boxing Day, but doesn't kind of fully kick off on Boxing Day, does it? It's mainly the 27th, but loads for us to look forward to. So morning, Jules. Morning, Sam. Excited for Christmas, guys? Jules?
Hello, guys. Yeah, of course, when you've got three children in the house, even if they're getting big and big, then you're always excited. Family time, still some football, quite a lot of football, actually, and always FPL.
Yeah, I imagine in your house, Sam, it's it must have thrown you a bit having no Boxing Day football for the Bonfield. Well, I know there is one game. Sorry, I do know there is one game.
Yeah, but it was one of those, wasn't it? It's like, what are we actually going to do? Because Boxing Day is normally our day for, like, we don't do anything. We just sit, we watch football all day. The kids play with their whatever it is that they've got for Christmas, and we don't move all day. And I was like, oh, we better actually come up with a plan for Boxing Day now, because we don't really need to be around. Although it does mean that I'm doing content on Boxing Day now, which I don't normally do because we've got more time during the course of the day. So yeah, a little bit of content in the afternoon. Yeah, we'll see.
Don't worry, guys, there's still a fantasy TV show on Boxing Day. I will be going into the studio on Boxing Day morning to record that with Praz, so don't miss that. That's exactly what you want to do, I'm sure. But anyway, for now, let's plough on through with the podcast. And this is your first reminder. There's just two game weeks left to play your first set of chips. So they cannot be rolled over to the second half of the season. So whatever you do, don't forget to play them. You might think, oh, that first or second week of January, I really want to play my bench boost. That's fine, but it'll be a bench boost for your second half of the season. So you can't hold it and have two post that deadline. So make sure you use them. I've got a bench boost, so I know I've got to use it this week or next week. Let's check in on how we did in the last game week then. Jules, that bench.
Oh, my word.
What happened?
Another time, really, 25 points left on the bench between Raya, Rice and Anderson. I hesitated a little bit to put Anderson for Gehi, for example, to Rice for Bruno Guimaraes or somebody like that, and Raya for Petrovic. Petrovic, to be fair, was a minute away from a clean sheet, and there's nothing more frustrating, obviously, in our game than seeing a defender or goalkeeper losing out those points in the last minute of a game that they controlled so well for most of it. But hey, that's what happened. So 2 points from Petrovic instead of seven or something like that. And then Rice and Anderson on the bench was a mistake for sure. But that's been the story of my season, to be fair. I've always left a lot of points on my benches.
25 points on there, Angels. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm now only 16 points off you. Probably not going to catch you, but all of a sudden that was about a 50-point gap and I'm kind of gradually scratching away. Yeah, 16 points to you.
Yeah, it's a bad red arrow for me this week.
She's still got a bench boost as well, Jules.
I know.
But bench boost for me is the chip that... I don't know. Well, if your name's Julian Laurent, it probably would go well this season because of his benching problems. But I can't see for me that it's going to go especially well looking at my squad. But you never know. Hopefully a few more points there. Sam, so I finished on 88. I got very lucky because I had Voltimada coming in because Van Hekker wasn't playing.
Unbelievable jam that was, by the way. I never get that sort of thing.
You finished on 82.
Yeah, it was an okay week. Like Jules, I absolutely raged on Saturday afternoon when that Burnley goal went in because Senesi was on for 13 points and I was on the biggest green arrow I've ever had because my three City players, well, apart from Foden, but O'Reilly and Haaland were obviously doing great. The triple captain had gone well. I was in a very good mood. Senesi was getting 13. And then Broya decided to ruin my afternoon. And honestly, it was so frustrating because then he was on 5 until Sunday when he lost his bonus point as well and ended up on 4. So it was just, a bit of a frustration, that one. But yeah, all in all, it was a fine game week. It's funny, isn't it? Because we spent all week last week, everywhere we went, talking about the midfield and this power three and how important they were going to be. And then Bruno goes off at half-time injured. Saka and Foden both blanked with the exception of their clean sheet point. There was a penalty in the Arsenal game and Saka didn't take it. And it just felt the midfield were a bit of a disaster, but at least the defence came in trumps for the most part, despite Senesi losing his clean sheet late on. So 82, another green arrow. That's 4 in 5 weeks now. So I do feel like I'm slowly chipping away here, which is important.
Yeah, same here. But I think I'm getting excited because I know I've got a bench piece. I mean, I've already I'd already made four transfers by Sunday night, which I'm just getting carried away with myself, doesn't it? Let's check in on the FPL Pod Mini League then. Henry Hine is back at the top. 92 points last week. He used his triple captain on Haaland. Also had returns for Verbruggen, Ekitike and Collins. Olotubi, Ajayi goes down into second. 86 points without a chip active. Suki Sidhu climbed from 10th into third with 97 points. Again, another triple captain used on Haaland. And also a special mention to Rabiu Wahab in fifth place. He got into the 100 club this week, helping him go from 22nd all the way up to fifth. If you've still not joined us, the code is XY6XPL. Okay, then, as I said, no off the bench this week. We're here to fill that gap for you. So we're going to try and rattle through and get through as many of the talking points from game week 17. Let's start with Manchester United 1, Aston Villa 2. And this felt a big one. Sunday was a quiet game in terms of the number of games, Sam, but a big headline really that Bruno coming off at half time and Ruben Amorim, everything he's saying makes it sound like it's not going to be a short period on the sidelines, and as a result we probably need to do something, don't we?
Yeah, probably. We will hear from Amorim once more on Christmas Eve, so we might get a little update on Bruno, but it does look likely that we're going to have to do something there. The fact that he came off in itself tells you a lot, because Bruno is normally there come what may. I guess the question for me then is, what do you do with Manchester United? Do you stay with them and do you replace Bruno with another Manchester United player? And do you go for somebody like Cunha, who, you know, has actually looked really good in the last three matches? Over the last three, he's had his best expected goals tallies of the season so far. You could go for him. I was quite impressed by Mason Mount, but now they're without Bruno and Mbeumo and Ahmad. And you kind of go, well, that's quite a lot out of the middle of that team that's now kind of been sucked away. Do you want to stick there given it's Newcastle next, who look very impressive this week? Difficult one. I'm probably just going to come away from Manchester United altogether at this point.
What about you, Jules? What would you recommend people do with Bruno?
I mean, I've transferred him out already for Morgan Rogers. I think there's a lot of really good options. If you don't want to keep him on your bench for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever his injuries and how long he's out. Because as we said, you can go for Rodgers. Semenyo has scored again. Cherki, we mentioned him last week. He's in good form. McGinn is doing decently. Cole Palmer is back now and played 79 minutes. There's Vierce who's in form. There's Gordon. There's Saka if you don't have him. There's a lot of things. Foden again if you don't have him as well. So there's a lot of really good options now if you don't want to keep Bruno Fernandes on your bench, which is, again, with the money that you've invested in him, it might be a good thing to let him go now. And then if you want, bring him back in 3 or 4 weeks when he's fit again.
Yeah, because people are going to sell, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the other thing is that it could be the thing that allows you to go back up, because we've all taken money out of our attack over the last few weeks and we've gone for having Haaland and then like Thiago and somebody else, a lot of players. Like, I've got Guiu. Like, if you now want to get an Ekitike in, then you're going to have to find money from somewhere. And maybe that money comes by taking Bruno Fernandes down rather than, you know, holding another premium option in midfield. Like, it definitely gives us a bit more flexibility, which maybe solves a problem for some of us, because we were all looking at it going, well, how on earth am I going to afford to get these other players in? And last week we were talking about, well, what would we do if we wanted Cole Palmer? Well, maybe we now have a answer to that. Well, what will we do if we want Cole Palmer or Ekitike either up top?
Yeah, it does make things easier. I told you guys off camera, but that is a really good idea. I told you what I did with my transfers. I did two transfers on Saturday night because I thought I couldn't get Ekitike in, because I thought I don't want to sell any of my midfield. So I sold Valtamada after his two goals off my bench. I had to bring him down to Dominic Calvert-Lewin because I thought, well, there's nowhere else I want to take money out of. So I brought him down to Dominic Calvert-Lewin, brought in Ekitike as well for Thiago. And then of course I could have just used the money from Bruno on Sunday and to put into Ekitike and kept Valtamada. But that's FPL, isn't it? I was trying to beat the price rises and falls, which I did do. So one small saving grace. A word on Morgan Rogers. Jules mentioned him, Sam. I have brought him in and Jules has brought him in as well. And you can completely see why. He's in the form of his life. But the fixtures, they have got Chelsea and Arsenal next, kind of in the next few, haven't they?
Yeah, that was his third 15-point return in six matches. Like, that's madness. He had seven shots in this win, including four of them in the penalty area. That was his best in any match so far this season. In fact, seven shots is the most he's ever had in a Premier League match. Wow. So he was so impressive in this one. And at a time where, if you look at the underlying numbers for Aston Villa, I'm kind of like, right, well, they're winning all the time, they're in great form, but then you watch them and it's very clearly Morgan Rodgers that is the one that you target from an FPL perspective. Like, he's just so far and away the best Villa asset right now. And yes, they've got Chelsea up next, but Chelsea are a bit hit and miss when it comes to clean sheets, especially. We've seen a lot of clean sheets, but then we've also seen them struggle in some other games that we maybe weren't expecting. So I do think that there's an opportunity maybe against Chelsea. The Arsenal game is very difficult. Like, defensively, Arsenal are very, very good. So I don't think it's necessarily terrible to go early on Morgan Rodgers with those two fixtures coming up, because he's in fantastic form. And when you have a player like that in great form, and a team playing for a team that keeps winning games, then it feels like it's okay to back against the fixtures and back with the form.
And clearly that's what you thought, Jules, because you brought him in.
Yeah, I think the goals that he scored against United, again, especially the first one, which is an XG of 0.03, same with the second one, to be fair. And the XG on target is better, to be fair. But still, when you're in that kind of form that anything you try basically transforms into gold, then whether it's you play Chelsea, whether you play Arsenal, whether you play Guardiola's Barcelona 09, you know, PSG 2025, if you want, you're just that guy, and you're just in that kind of form. You're so high on confidence that you will try things that maybe 2 months ago he doesn't try that first shot, the goal on the shot on the first goal against United. But now, because everything is going his way, it will stop at some point, obviously. But I think it's still very much worth getting him now, because he's very much capable of having another brace against Chelsea and maybe one goal or an assist against Arsenal, even if they are two tough games.
Okay, then moving on to Manchester City 3, West Ham 0. Well done if you triple captains. I think he could have had even more, couldn't he, Jules, to be honest?
He should have, yeah, definitely. And he got lucky on the two goals that he scored, by the way, because one is the rebound on his first shot, and the second one, they make a mess of it, West Ham. And then the ball just drops for him. It's an easy tapping that all of us would have scored. But it was when he scores after 5 minutes, you know, you just know the afternoon would be that kind of afternoon. And for me, who didn't triple captain, and it was a nightmare. For you who triple captain, you were ecstatic.
Yeah. Foden, I don't think we have too much to add on Erling Haaland, do we? Successful chip deployed, Sam. Move on. What about Foden? Because every time he blanks, I feel like we're all going, oh no, oh no.
Yeah, because we all start to, and we've been talking about for a while, haven't we, how Foden is a purple patch player, and when it ends, you have to get off quite quickly because he just ends up taking up space in your team. But actually, that's not how I feel about Phil Foden this week. Like, he is the guy that kind of assists Haaland. Does the first goal goes in, first shot goes in, and he gets an assist for that. He was unlucky, Foden, not to get points on Saturday. Yeah. Like, there was definitely opportunities in that game. He's really involved. It was just one of those fixtures. And I know that there was a group of people that were looking at triple captaining him instead of Haaland in order to try and make some ground or be different. And it's gone badly if you did that. But Foden is still very much a hold for me because his involvement in this game was really positive still. So I think just keep and hold, and you'll almost certainly get points out of him over the next few weeks.
The only thing I would say on Foden, and I have him as well, so, and I'm keeping him, is because of the Doku injury, he played on the left-hand side a lot in this game, which is obviously not the same threat for him than when he's central on the kind of D of the box, in that area where he scores a lot of his goals, because he's always in the right place. He's so good shooting from there. And it's a very different game for him to be on that kind of left-hand side with Cherki, the other 10, a bit more on the right-hand side. And then you had the three midfielders, Reinders, Nico and Bernardo Silva in that kind of midfield behind them. So it's a different role and a different position certainly than when Doku plays and he's that kind of left side winger with Foden more central and Cherki just a bit of freedom. So let's see when Doku comes back and what Pep does at the weekend to see where Foden plays, because he's not as efficient and will never be coming off the left-hand side and when he's central.
Yeah, makes a good point. I'm interested. What are you thinking about Cherki, Sam? Is he someone that's really on your radar?
Yeah, but it's hard because I've already got three Man City players. So I'd have to sell Foden in order to get him in. I think if you are looking for a player that you kind of, if you want to go all out attack on Man City and you're not interested in having Nico O'Reilly, then I think you can absolutely go for those three up top. But also the Man City defence has been producing well. So having somebody like an O'Reilly makes a lot of sense and is cheaper, obviously. So I think it depends on how you want to share around your budget. But he's an option if you've still got an extra Man City spot you haven't filled for sure.
I only have two City now, and O'Reilly feels like he's more and more important, Jules.
Yeah, I think so. And we talked about him quite early in the season, which I think was really good advice for the listeners, because we said he's a number 10 that plays a left back. So for all the issues with that, in the sense of him defensively, he still needs to learn a lot because he's never been a defender and he's still not a defender. He brings you a lot with the ball, and we saw some goals and some assists from him. But defensively, he's getting better. I think City as a whole, as a unit, are getting better. It helps when you've got Donnarumma in goal. He made some good saves in that game against West Ham. But Guardiola was not happy after the West Ham game, despite a 3-0 win, because he knows that there's still a lot of work to be done, especially defensively, especially in transition. So there's O'Reilly for now is good because he's cheap and he gives you points. But it's still, I think there will be more goals conceded by City than what we saw. And to be fair, West Ham should have scored at least one.
Yeah, you mentioned West Ham there. They were a lot better in that second half, Sam. You're a Jared Bowen fan. Did you bring him in?
Yes.
I thought that was your one transfer that you did on Saturday.
Get it.
No, I did it on Saturday night. So I'm fine. Yeah, it was one of those where I was watching him and... to be fair, he had a number of opportunities in this game where he could have got something for Donnarumma being absolutely unbelievably good. Like, so I'm looking at that thinking, well, you're not coming up against one of the best goalkeepers, if not the best goalkeeper in the world. Maybe Ray is the exception there. So, yeah, I just was like, I think this is an opportunity to go for a player. So, yeah, in came Jared Bowen, and I'm very happy to have him. I feel a lot better every time I look at my team, seeing his smiley face there. Despite the fact that West Ham, you know, are struggling at the minute, there were, particularly in the second half, there were moments where that attack looked quite promising. And where they did make opportunities, I thought Somerville had some decent opportunities. Potts is looking like a really interesting option right now. He's cheaper than Josh King, who seems to have lost his base in that starting 11 for Fulham as well. So if you're looking for a cheap midfielder who is starting most weeks and you've still got your bench boost to play, i.e. Kelly does. So if you need the money, like if you're looking at, you know, finding money to go to an Ekitike or finding money to go to somebody else, Potts does not look terrible given the West Ham fixtures over the next few weeks either.
Yeah, but you've gone for Bowen, you don't have Ekitike.
That's correct.
Interesting. Ooh. But had I known the Bruno thing was going to happen, I could have afforded... My friend could have been Bowen and Ekitike, but here we are, didn't know. That's the way it goes. Moving on, Newcastle 2, Chelsea 2. I mean, I got very, very lucky with Voltimada, but Jules, how are you feeling about him? I've had to tell him as explained. I don't feel particularly great about it, but here we are.
No, I mean, two good goals. The first one you expected him to score. He should have had a hat trick probably. I still think, as we've been saying, that they're still learning to play on his strength and with him. So I expect there will be games where he's not as efficient as the one on Saturday against Chelsea, a Chelsea team that in that first half was terrible too. It got much more difficult for Newcastle and for Voltimada after the break, by the way. But yeah, they've got United to play next. So okay, that's a bit tricky. But after that, it's Burnley, Palace and Leeds for Newcastle. So whether you want to go for Voltimada or Gordon, who looked really, really good and really sharp, probably back to his best in that Chelsea game, certainly until he came off. Maybe wait until the United game has happened if you're not too sure about that one, although the United concede goals, as we've seen in the last few weeks, and then maybe invest in Newcastle, or you can do it now. And if you don't have Voltimada or Gordon, I think there are two good options to have.
Yeah, I kind of want to move on from this point, to be honest, Sam. Let's talk about Chelsea.
I think I was quite surprised by Chelsea's performance in the first half. Like, Newcastle came out and were really on fire, and I think in part that was because of we were getting a bit of a reaction from what happened in the derby the week before. But Chelsea in the second half, as Jules alluded to, they were much, much better, and Newcastle struggled a bit in the second half. So Reece James with an absolutely lovely free kick, and I still don't think he's a player that you can go for, though. That's the problem, is that he is, you just never know. And over this busy Christmas period, I'd expect at least one benching for him at some point during this time. I think Chelsea, you know, we saw the return of João Pedro to our FPL thinking, I think, with his goal, lovely goal from him. But again, I still think there's so many forwards that you would be looking at, be it Voltimada or Bowen or Ekitike, and that there's probably better options that you could go to. Neto still, for me, feels like the best Chelsea player to have, despite not getting anything in this one.
Yeah. Palmer, are we still waiting? Are we, because it just feels like at some point we're going to want him.
Yeah, it's 79 minutes. So as we've been saying before last week, they're building up his minutes, and rightly so. 60 and then 80. and then he's probably ready now to play the full 90 at the weekend, then obviously I'm not sure how ready he is to go back-to-back 3 days apart for Chelsea, and the next game against Villa would be big in terms of the importance of it, but also the intensity and the physicality of it. So I'm not sure if Palmer plays 90 minutes against Villa. I think he might need a rest for the following game. But soon, he will be ready to play 90 minutes every 3 days. And it will probably come back a bit more into our thinking. I still felt that in that Newcastle game for the 80 minutes that he played, there was not enough from him to bring into your team. He lost possession 15 times, for example, in that game, which is a lot in 80 minutes. Mm. So I know he got the free kick that Reece James scored and they fouled him on that, but that's not really him doing something directly for us in FPL that could tell you, oh yeah, he's back in form. And there was a goal, obviously, the previous weekend against Everton. But I see we needed to just wait a little bit more.
Bournemouth won, Burnley won. Well, that was frustrating, wasn't it? That Burnley goal going in at the end. He had 19 DEFCONs, by the way, Senesi. He's an absolute magnet, isn't it? Every time I think about selling him, I then think, well, at least he's going to get DEFCON if he doesn't get any returns. It's Bournemouth's fixtures, I think, Sam, that are making people feel a little bit hesitant.
Yeah, I think so. Because actually, when you look at the fixtures that they have coming up over the next couple of weeks, obviously it's Brentford who, let's see, I mean, that game's quite difficult to call, I think, but then Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs, Brighton, Liverpool before Wolves and then Villa. Like, that's not a great run of fixtures for them. But having said all of that, Senesi feels like four is his minimum. Like, he feels like he's going to get 2 points of playing and 2 points of DEFCON every week. And then, I mean, he could so easily have scored. At the end of that game, I'm like, head it down. Just down, not over the... I lost my temper a little bit with Senesi at that point during that one because he just lost the clean sheet and then he didn't score it. But I think he's still a really nice option to have. Like, I certainly think that at this point where we've got a lot of issues in our teams with the likes of Bruno getting injured, with trying to change up the way that money is spread around, like, for me, Senesi is really not a priority sale despite those fixtures, because it still feels like he's one is so important. So you're going to get him playing over Christmas. And that's vital. Like, you know, Jules was just saying about Palmer, we might see some rotation. Same with Reece James, we might see some rotation. With Senesi, you feel like, well, he's so important that they're going to play him. So for me, he remains a hold despite the fixtures.
Okay. Brighton 0, Southampton 0.
Sunderland.
Oh, that's my fault. I've written Southampton on the screen.
But also, that shows that I'm like anchor manager, just read what's written in front of me. Brighton 0, Sunderland 0, Southampton were last season. Was it last season? Yeah, it was last season, wasn't it? I think this, for me, the big thing was no Van Hecker, but also I benched Mukiele. I think a lot of people benched their Sunderland defenders, didn't they?
Yeah. And I think, to be fair, considering the players that they have out now, who are all gone to AFCON, we could have probably foreseen a little bit more the fact that they will be very good defensively now. This is especially away from home in a game like this. If you're Régis Le Bris and this Sunderland team, you think, okay, there's no Sadiki, there's no Traoré, there's no Reinildo, there's six players out. Let's just make sure we get a draw, we don't concede, we play solid, well organized, difficult to break down, which is exactly what they did. And they were super happy with that 0-0 draw. And I think we could have seen it coming.
Yeah, okay. Not too much to add on that one, I don't think. The Van Hecker thing is going to be very frustrating for me this weekend when I want to play my bench boost, but here we are. I know it's Arsenal away, though. Wolves 0, Brentford 2. What's Thiago playing at, Sam?
He's not playing, is he? Did he play?
He played. Did nothing.
I know, 0 XG for second game in a row. You can't have a player like that in your FPL team. It's not.
Yeah, no, I don't. He's gone.
And he's gone for me as well. Like, you can't have a team have seven attempts on goal and have the forward not get any of them. Like, and the fact that it's like, it's even like, it's like Keane Lewis-Potter with a brace, like, lovely. If you're one of the like 0.0% of owners that have got Keane Lewis-Potter, then great. He had three attempts. He scored two of them. He was very clinical in this one. But Thiago, I mean, we spent all week kind of going, oh, what should we do about him? He's a bit of a doubt. He's flagged. He missed the League Cup game. So when I saw him on the starting team sheet, I was like, right, this is great, because I didn't really fancy either of my two benched players. And actually, as it goes, I was better off to have him than I would have been to have Mickey van der Ven or Josh King come off the bench. So that was a positive. But he's just not holdable, particularly at a time when you've got so many forwards that are doing quite well and like are starting to really shine. So yeah, he's the obvious sell up top to give you a route to Ekitike or a route to Jared Bowen or whoever else it is that you want, Dominic Calvert-Lewin if you prefer.
Okay. Anything else to add on Brentford? Because it kind of feels like, because of the way Wolves are at the moment and the moment they're in, it feels quite hard to judge Brentford too much on this, Jules.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, Kelleher was the outstanding with Lewis Potter, but there's more people who have Kelleher, obviously, than Lewis Potter. But with the penalty save, they're obviously not conceding either. They've got Bournemouth next. We said that when we talked about Bournemouth. And then Spurs, Everton and Sunderland. So the fixtures are not bad for Brentford. If you want somebody like Kelleher or one of the defenders, just go for it, I think, because it will be they will be cheap, because they all are. And the fixtures are decent for them. Certainly to get defensive returning points. Offensively, I'm not so sure. But defensively, there might be something for you with a few differentials, because they're still lowly owned.
We could focus in on Wolves, but it's probably more sensible to focus in on the next opponents, Liverpool, and say, as a result of what we're seeing from Wolves, are we going to all try and get Liverpool players in for that one, Sam?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was obviously watching the Spurs-Liverpool game, not with my husband, thankfully, but also thinking about a route to Liverpool for next week, because I was very aware that I couldn't afford a TK. Like, if I wanted to go from Thiago, and I only had one free transfer, so I was kind of hoping that I wouldn't see much from him, and actually it wasn't him that really impressed me, and maybe the goal's a little bit lucky. He puts two hands on Romero. Maybe it's a foul. Who knows? Maybe I'm just a biased Spurs fan. But Vert's really impressed me in this one. Gets the assist, gets all three bonus points. That's the last couple of weeks, actually, that we've seen a big improvement from him and his performances. And I think, you know, because Liverpool are quite hit at the moment in terms of the Gakpo injury, now Isak is injured as well, Salah's away, that front nine feels like you can absolutely almost guarantee who's going to start, which is a luxury that we don't often have with teams like Liverpool. So I think now Wirtz is putting himself on the radar. So if you can't get to Ekitike, who I think is the obvious choice to buy this week as a forward against that Wolves defence, then Wirtz is looking like a decent option as well in midfield if you need a Bruno replacement.
Yeah, the Ekitike pick is only enhanced now by the fact that Isak had surgery, I think, last night, didn't he, on a fractured leg. So it looks like Ekitike is going to be the main man. Any other interest for you at Liverpool, Jules?
So Wirtz, for sure, I agree with Sam. I think this was his best game by far in the game. And I know Liverpool wish they could play Spurs every week. Obviously, we all do. But that's not the case, although it's Wolves, so it's not pretty similar level, to be honest here. But yeah, I mean, the rest, you could think that McAllister, who plays a bit more advanced now, him and Wirtz were the kind of two tens, if you want, could be interesting. But the most two informs, or defensively, if you want to go for, because it's Wolves and it's unlikely they will score, let's be honest, that Van Dijk or Konate, Alisson, you know, whoever you want, Kerkes, because now I think Kerkes is going to work much better on that left-hand side with the way Wirtz is playing and the team is playing than when he had Gakpo ahead of him. I think that's also a possibility. Then the fixtures, and you know, it's this Wolves game, and then it's obviously not as easy. But yeah, why not go for a defender as well?
Okay, Spurs. I mean, down to nine men. Anything you really want to? I'm struggling to find any where to go with Spurs in terms of from an FPL point of view.
So I've still got two Spurs players in my team every week. I think Mickey van der Ven just sits on the...
That's really love. That's blind
shows how loyal
love.
I am. It's loyalty, or that is, Jules. Or blindness, yeah. Mickey van der Ven's fine. He sits on the bench every week. Kudus, I try and sell every week because I kind of think, right, well, now's an opportunity to go. But then there's always something else that happens. So in this one, it was like, well, Thiago's... I'm so annoyed by you and I want Jarrod Bowen. So I want to do that instead. That feels a bigger priority. Then Bruno's obviously got himself injured. And then that takes a bigger priority than dealing with Kudus. So it's one of those transfers. Like, I don't think you hold any Spurs assets, to be honest. The only positive if I'm really clutching, the only positive is that Palace are really susceptible from set pieces. Like, they are really susceptible from them at the minute. Defensively, they're all over the place. And we saw that with Leeds. So maybe there's an opportunity for Kudus, given he's on some set pieces. Maybe Danzo coming in to replace the now suspended Romero with his long throws. Maybe there's an opportunity there from those dead ball situations. Otherwise, I think, you know, realistically, we're clutching here. Just sell your Spurs assets.
Everton, just quickly, quickly on Liverpool. No, sorry, because on. I said it's Wolves, Leeds, Fulham before the Arsenal game. I thought the Arsenal game against Liverpool was a bit closer. Okay. So even after Wolves, the Leeds and Fulham fixtures are decent for Wirtz or Nketiah or defensively, and then it's Arsenal. So it's not as tough as I thought too quickly after the Wolves game.
Everton 0, Arsenal 1. Big headline for this from me was Victor Gyökeres took the penalty.
Yeah.
And Jules was relieved. You got the Declan Rice assist, but it was on your bench, wasn't it?
It was on my bench. And by the way, that should never be an assist. Let's be honest here, all of us.
I was wondering if you were going to say it was clearly an assist. Because you know what you're like with your assists.
I know, but I'm consistent whether I own the player or not. That should never be in the million year an assist for Declan Rice. I think Arteta said the players on the pitch decided that it was good for Gyökeres to take it. Why not? I mean, I think Odegaard or Saka are as good penalty takers than Gyökeres is, to be honest, but he probably needed a goal now more than anybody else in that team. That's fair enough. That doesn't mean that the next penalty would be him, because he could well be one of the other two easily. So I think it's one of those where, at least for Arsenal, we're not sure who is the guaranteed penalty taker, because there's three very, very good potential takers.
Okay, that's good news for you. It just goes back to our Saka conversation though, doesn't it, Sam? Because I'm seeing a lot of people, probably pre the Bruno injury, I wonder if a lot more people would have been selling him, because he is expensive. And if he's not going to be on penalties and we're not going to get the ridiculously high level of returns because he's set such a high bar in previous seasons, hasn't he? I think it's left people a little bit frustrated. But I mean, I was never considering selling. And as I said, that injury to Bruno has probably halted any potential plans for others.
Yeah, to the point where I was like, well, I won't get Nketiah, I'll get Bowen instead, because I don't want to sell Saka. Like, I was quite keen to hold Saka. It's one of those, like, he does seem to take more penalties at home than he does away from home, which I think is just a weird quirk. And I do think that this one was just about giving Gyökeres the goal that you needed, because I think it's 5 without. So, yeah, I wouldn't do it personally. I get why people do, though, because it's staying invested in the Arsenal attack with Rice, but also having an extra $3 million in your bank. And that does go quite a long way at the moment in terms of upgrades elsewhere. So I understand why people are doing it. I think it's less relevant now that Bruno is injured, because obviously you can just take the money out of Bruno instead.
Not if you'd already redistributed.
Unless you've done
that
it. Then you have to get Saka back in again.
Have some people done that?
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. There's been some weird Saka out, Saka back in again transfers going on this weekend.
This is the effect of 5 transfers. Everyone thinks they can do what they want because they can rectify it. I thought that for a while. But now I have 4 transfers that I've used off. I've actually only got 1 left. Everton fixtures massively swing. I feel like I'm going to be in the market in the next few weeks for a defender, and that's where I'll be looking. Would you do the same, Jules?
Yeah, absolutely. Tarkowski, Keane, O'Brien, he played volleyball in that Arsenal game, but usually he's quite a reliable defender to have. Mikolenko, if you prefer somebody slightly more attacking and can maybe on a good day get you attacking returns. But yeah, I think it's Burnley, Forest, Brentford and Wolves, I think, if I can read my writing properly. So yeah, it's an easy one, a no-brainer to go for Everton, at least one Everton defender, or even Pickford if you want the goalkeeper, for that run of 4 games where they could easily get 4 clean sheets.
Leeds 4, Palace 1. What a scoreline. Palace rotated in Europe, but let's be honest, Sam, they still look like the fixtures are potentially catching up with them. And it does just leave us with a little bit of a conundrum of what do we do? I'm not going to do anything with Richards because of his price point at the moment. But is there a decision to be made for some managers?
I think so. Like, Glasner said he was going to rotate the squad for the game in midweek in Europe on the basis that he would then have them with fresher legs for the game at the weekend. And they did not look like they had fresher legs for this game at the weekend. They were absolutely all over the place. Leeds, they shouldn't take anything away from Leeds, because Leeds were great, but their vulnerability from set pieces was really clear. They just look like this season's already catching up with them. And we are about to go into this hectic Christmas period where just the games just keep coming. And they've got another one to play tonight, because they've got to play their League Cup game against Arsenal tonight. So they've got that to play. Then they've got the game against Spurs on the weekend. And despite what Jules says, that's about being an easy fixture, it's still another set of 90 minutes in these guys' legs, right? So every time they play, there is a bit more fatigue there. And they are, you know, without a couple of key assets, with players off at AFCON or with the Munoz injury. So, yeah, Am I going to sell Mark Gahey? Probably not. I've got other issues that I've got to deal with. Like, he's on the list of potential issues, but something else always seems to happen. So he'll probably stay, especially because Spurs, you know, we're allergic to clean sheets. So there's nothing to say that he couldn't get something. But yeah, it does feel like if you've got lots of transfers and nothing else to do, that you could start offloading your Palace assets.
The only thing I would say just quickly is that they have two home games in a row. So they have Spurs, as we said, and then Fulham at home. And then they go to away at Newcastle. So maybe if you don't have any more free transfers, if you're not really sure, at least it's two home games. It's not guaranteed anything, but at least you're at home in those two fixtures that on paper look probably okay for Palace if they were at their usual level.
Yeah. Okay. Just a quick word. DCL, have we all been sleeping on him? Say yes, Jules, because I've brought him in.
Yes, I brought him in as well. So, but then I brought him in. Then I look at the fixtures and I think like, oh, why did I bring him in? Because I guarantee
you,
he's not going to score again for a few weeks.
No, he could do. He's on a purple patch, isn't he? You have to get these players on the purple patch, and if not, you sell them. Fulham 1, Forest 0. I mean, the main thing to say here is that Harry Wilson was the most transferred in, 2 points, and went off with a big knock. Let's hope he's okay. Is he going to be all right, Sam?
The suggestion at the end of the game was that, yes, probably he would. When the manager was talking, he was saying he thinks he'll be okay. So it's just one to watch. It didn't look too serious. It did just look like he put in a bad tackle and had a knockout at the back end of it. That was all.
Yeah. Shout out to both Andersons, because Anderson, the midfielder, and Anderson, the defender, both got DEFCON. Congratulations. If you owned either of those, I did, but put him on the bench. Okay, then let's just have a quick word on the festive period. So you really will need to set your alarms or whatever you need to do to make sure you don't miss any of these deadlines, guys, because we've got a Boxing Day deadline. Despite there only being one game on Boxing Day, there is still a deadline that day because of the evening fixture. Then we've got a deadline on the 30th, then one on the 3rd and the 6th. So that's four deadlines in just 11 days. Sam, it's all about planning, isn't it? And just being reacting across everything.
Yeah, we will still get some press conferences over the next couple of days. There'll be some managers talking today. There'll be some managers talking on Christmas Eve. So do listen to that. The one thing I would say is that normally we take a lot of interest in what the managers say, but that's because usually they speak the day before. Whereas obviously these guys are speaking today, but some of them don't play until like Saturday. So you've got to be just aware of that and make sure that we pay attention to what they're saying. I think it's also important that you, as far as you can with your transfers, try and target the talisman, the 90-minute men in the teams, because that's going to help with this festive period. It will try and reduce the risk of rotation as much as possible, and also make sure that that bench is set up properly so that if you do need it, you've got enough players there to come in and help.
Okay. And I guess it's all, Jules, about bringing in players that set us up for the next few fixtures, isn't it? So when you mentioned Liverpool, it was important that you mentioned the next three or four, because actually that isn't for the next month. That's like for the next 10 days, two weeks.
Yeah, you're right, Kez. That block of fixture is interesting, is very important. So have a good look at it before you make your transfer, before you're even picking your team. There will be rotation. We said that already on the show, but it's inevitable. You've got games every 3 days now for the next 10 days or so. So I think it'd be really rare that some of the big players, for example, play 90 minutes in all those three games back to back. So just expect some of the players to potentially be on the bench. So look at who's played a lot, who looks tired, and then pick your team and your starting 11 accordingly, because inevitably we talked about Reece James, but you can talk about, I don't know, someone like Declan Rice, who's played a lot and runs a lot and is so intense. You wouldn't be surprised if at some point maybe he starts on the bench and Merino starts ahead of him or something like that. So that could hurt you if your players then only play 10 or 12 or 15, 20 minutes, whatever. So just think about the rotation as well when you pick your teams.
Okay, any teams or players that you want to point out in particular, Sam, or should we go on to differentials?
No, Liverpool, Everton, West Ham feel like the players with the best fixtures over the next couple of weeks. And these teams are quite hit by AFCON anyway and injuries, so hopefully you get less rotation as well.
Okay, differential of the week, and for once it was a good week for both of you. Jules, you got 4 points from Shirky, but Sam, you beat that. You got 6 points for O'Reilly's clean sheet for Manchester City, so you can go first.
Hooray, 2 weeks in a row. It makes a change, doesn't it? I've got Verts this week, 8.1 million.
Me too.
Tough.
Quickly get another one, Jules.
I've got another one because I knew she would copy me.
Nah, he's owned by 8.1% of the game. In fact, that has gone up significantly because he was on my differentials list of potential on Sunday, and then Bruno got injured. And at that point, I think he was owned by 3.something% of the game. So it's a big jump since the Bruno injury. He's returned in his last two matches, and if we include DEFCON, he got 5 against Brighton, 2 DEFCON and a clean sheet point. And then obviously the assist and 3 bonus points against Spurs at the weekend, And as we've mentioned, you know, I think with the injuries that they have with AFCON, he looks integral to the way that they're going to play. Only McAllister and Ekitike have had more attempts on goal than he has in the last two matches, and nobody has been more creative in this period for Liverpool than Wirtz. So, yeah, he's my differential. And by the way, I think he's going to be my next transfer in.
This week or next week?
Well, I've got Bruno problems. So I'm going to have to take a minus four. So if I'm taking a minus four, I have to do it for a player that I think is going to be good over the next few weeks. And because they have three nice fixtures over Christmas and probably else, no one else that can replace him, for me, he feels like the best option for me to go to.
Spoiler alert for your transfer there as well. Yeah. Differential, Jules?
I went, so I had Wirtz, but to be fair, I did think that it was an easy one, an obvious one that Sam could also pick. No, really, seriously. So then I went for Anthony Gordon, who we mentioned already. He was really good, I thought, against Chelsea for most of that game. He's only owned by 2.9% of the manager, which is really low for somebody like him. And I know he's 7.3 million, so a little bit expensive, although cheaper than Wirtz. So he got 10 points, then 1 point, then 10 points again against Chelsea. So clearly in good form. They've got United, as we said, on Boxing Day. United, who conceded quite a few amount of goals lately. So I think it's an interesting one to go for. If you can't get to Wirtz, for example, and the 8 million, then you could get to Gordon with 7.3.
Okay, and transfers and captains then. Sam, you've already said you've done Jarrod Bowen. You're likely to take a minus for Florian Wirtz. Captain?
Oh, the captain's actually a little bit more difficult this week. I think I'll probably just leave it with Haaland. The temptation to move it to Wirtz is quite real. If I've brought him in for a hit, I could double down on that hit and give him the armband. It's Wolves. It feels good. I think if I had Ekitike, I'd be very tempted to give it to him this week.
I certainly am. Are you, Jules?
Yeah, I'm really thinking. So I brought in Ekitike, Rodgers and Calvert-Lewin, like we said earlier.
We've done exactly the same transfers.
I know. And I did them super early. I don't know why. This is so unlike me. But I think Ekitike...
Who did you take out quickly?
I took out Bruno, Thiago and Mateta. I broke my heart by taking Mateta, but you can hardly walk, bless him.
Sometimes you've got to let your heart, your head rule your heart.
He hasn't boom for a long time, so I'm sorry, Jean-Philippe, but that's the way. Ekitike captain, I think Dyche and Forest at home against City could just try to close the shop for Christmas and not let anything in. So I think Ekitike could be good. And also, because I lost so many damn points in this game week now with my crazy bench, I need a differential in terms of captaincy to try to come back up.
Makes a lot of sense. I'm a bit scared that we made exactly the same transfers and we might captain the same player though, Jules. This is getting a bit weird now.
It's 16 points.
This is probably as close as I'm gonna get, but I'm coming for you. That's where we'll leave it. Happy Christmas, guys. Have a good one.
You too, girls.
Yes, I can't believe it's actually here. Yeah, this will be in your ears. I think this will be ears on the 23rd. So I hope you've got plenty of time while you're doing your last minute Christmas shopping or you're wrapping to listen to it. But whatever happens, have a great Christmas, guys. And a reminder, there's a Friday evening. That's Boxing Day, because at this time of the year, no one knows what day it is. So Friday evening is Boxing Day and the deadline is at 6:30 p.m. That's 90 minutes ahead of the game between Newcastle and Manchester United. As I said, the Fantasy Show will be back on Friday morning. Praz is joining me in the studio. Then we'll be back on Monday to review game week 18 and look forward to game week 19, which kicks off on Tuesday. Hope you've got all of that, everyone. Have a great Christmas. See you next week.